Good to go. Good afternoon. That was awfully quiet.
Good afternoon.
Okay.
Slightly better.
Oh, slightly better. My name is Michael Nystrom. I work for Trusec, and this is Marcus Lassfolk. He also works for Trusec.
Yes.
From time to time. We are here to talk about the Azure Pack and Azure Stack. Apparently
when we submitted this session like 6 months ago, things looked a little bit different. Azure Stack was supposed to be almost ready by now. During the summertime, Microsoft announced that they were delaying the release of Azure Stack until next summer. So things are not as ready as we had expected.
No.
So
I think we were in a meeting 2 years ago and they said, you can download the bits like in a week. They will be, you know, ready, almost. That was 2 years ago.
And there has been a lot of confusion from customers and colleagues in the field about the differences between Azure Stack and Azure Pack, the current version we're using for private clouds. So this session will focus on explaining the differences and possibilities with the different platforms.
I didn't do that. You did.
Why I'm happy that there was no...
Okay.
So, we'll start off with a quick demo.
The quick demo? Is that me?
No, I'll do the first part and you do the second part.
You do the first one. Okay.
So, if you haven't been living under a rock for the last couple of years, you have probably seen this when we have been demoing it. This is Azure Pack. Windows Azure Pack, which is a self-service portal that you're running in-house in your data center using Windows Server and System Center to present services to your customers or end users.
And it also happens to look exactly like the older version of Azure.
Yeah, the public Azure.
Which was the purpose. And according to Microsoft, it is approximately 80% equivalent to Azure. And we were like, okay, so 80%, that's pretty close. Yeah, and then it turns out that those 80% was the look. The look is approximately 80% equivalent with Azure. Behind the scenes, there's nothing that is equivalent at all. Because they don't run System Center in Azure. They run other kind of code.
So the Azure Pack is mostly focused on infrastructure as a service, using System Center in the background, which makes it possible for me as a user to create, for example, a virtual machine from the gallery. These are the templates that exist. I can pick one, next, fill in the details, next, finish, and it will deploy a virtual machine for me.
And you can also create a web server if you want to do that.
You could do a web server as well. From
and
the
SQL Server and other things. So it's both an infrastructure as a platform and as well as being a platform as a service.
Exactly. And one of the most, we'll say, favorite features we got with this one is the Console Connect feature. So I can just pick a VM, connect to Console, and as you will notice, it will connect me directly without asking for any credentials or anything because I've already signed into Azure Pack. So I'm only getting the VMs, that's my own. And that gives me possibility to log on and access the console and so on. And all this is using the quite advanced System Center family, the suite of Virtual Machine Manager. It's using components from Orchestrator, the SPF, the SMA. It's having connections to Ops Manager. So it's basically using all the components in System Center to provide the services to the end user.
Yes, and that's almost correct, I would say. It is correct if you use all the features. We do have customers that says, we just want to have the minimum set. What is the minimum set? How small can you do this? Well, you can have a domain controller, a System Server Virtual Machine Manager, together with SPF, and Azure Pack. Basically, you need three virtual machines, and you can have everything. But then you don't have monitoring and you don't have automation and you don't have all these other components. But we do have a few customers running the minimum set, and that is basically 3 or 4 virtual machines and that's it. Okay, so that's what it looks like.
And in comparison, Azure Stack then?
Well, Azure Stack is currently different. Azure Stack currently runs on one physical machine, and the only reason it does that is because it's a proof of concept. So it will run on multiple physical machines in the future. But instead of having System Center, you use Azure Stack. You use just the web UI. This is your front end. This is your front end from the perspective of that's where you manage your subscription. That's where you manage your tenants. That's where you manage VMs and storage. So both the tenant and the administrator is using this web UI. And this looks like the new version of Azure. The only thing different is basically it says Azure Stack instead of Microsoft Azure.
And just to be crystal clear, this is running on-prem as well. So it's running on-premises in your data center, your portal. Everything is staying in-house. Everything you create is being created on your hosts. Nothing is being sent to Azure right now.
And this is how it looks like from an admin perspective. I have all the plans and services. So it would be exactly the same as logging on to Azure. It's just that you can't control other users because in Azure, you're a tenant, right? But when you do Azure Stack on-prem, you are going to be the admin and someone else is going to be the tenant, which means that we can create our plans and services. And in this case, we did create a plan called Tech Days 2016. And that's an offer together with a plan A. The plan A, do you have a plan B as well?
No, we don't have a B plan. No backup plan.
No backup plan.
So if this one fails, we're screwed.
Yeah. So the UI for both the tenants and for the admins looks the same way. Now, one of the things that you, of course, do understand is that, hey, this is just a web UI. Isn't there another side of this? Yeah, it is. This is the physical machine. And here's all the VMs. So there is another side of Azure, which means that you can, in Azure Stack, of course, log on to the hypervisor itself and you can goof around with the virtual machines. No, you can't. You can do that in the current proof of concept environment. When it hits general availability, you will not be allowed to log on to the physical machine. The only access you have to the system is going to be the web UI, period. It's basically like a cell phone. Are you an admin in your cell phone? Yeah. No, nobody is, unless you jailbreak it, then you are. But usually, nobody's really the admin of a cell phone. You can use the cell phone, but you're not really going to be the admin on the cell phone.
So we'll get back to more in-depth later on.
Yes.
So one of the confusions that's been around is that Azure Stack is a replacement for Azure Pack. That Azure Pack is dying or being outphased, and Azure Stack is replacing that one.
And I need to confess something. I was interviewed about a year ago, and I did say at that time that Azure Pack is a dead fish.
Dead duck.
Dead duck. A dead fish. I can't remember. Something was dead at least. That was wrong. It wasn't. That was what we assumed to be true.
No, it was based on the facts from Microsoft at that time. Because a year ago, the end date for the support of Azure Pack was this summer. And then they extended that support. And this was released like 2 days ago. So they have now extended the support even longer. So Azure Pack will be... there's the one. So Azure Pack will be in support for 6 more years. They will develop Azure Pack for 6 more years and add features to it. And it will hit extended support, so it will be supported for 11 years. So it's really not dead.
No, it's going to live most likely longer than me. Yeah, I'm burned fast.
This is what Microsoft says by themselves, that Azure Stack is not the new version of Azure Pack. They will be living side by side, doing different things and doing things differently. And the Azure Stack will not kill Azure Pack. And they have different purposes.
They do. And the reason why they have different purposes is because customers at the moment are doing legacy stuff. How many of you do use Active Directory or SQL Server or Exchange? Anyone using that? A few of you. That is to be considered legacy. Active Directory, as its current form, running on a server in your environment, is a legacy Active Directory. That will also cease to exist eventually. Tomorrow? No. In a week? Absolutely not. In 10 years? Well, I wouldn't say it's going to cease to exist, but Azure Active Directory is the future, because cloud services is the future. Because we don't really need... How many of you remember Small Business Server? Anyone? Yeah. You remember that everybody has their own mail server, and their own SharePoint server, and their own... That was kind of a great idea back in the days. It's not really a great idea anymore. It's like, why do you have that? Why do you have your own mail server? You can do Office 365. But at that time, those kind of services didn't exist. So you had them on your own. But now when they do exist, maybe we don't need to have those kind of local services. And it's going the same way. So
Azure Stack is aimed towards the new kind of services. If you're developing microservices, web services, things like that, you know, like the new Uber or similar services, then Azure Stack is the platform for you. Because that one makes it possible to scale those services easily for the developers to use DevOps, to deploy their own code to Azure Stack, just like if they would deploy it to Azure today, to the public Azure. That's the aim of Azure Stack. If you're running, as Michael said, legacy applications like Azure, like Active Directory, SQL Server, and everything else, if you're using virtual machines, then you're probably better off running Windows Azure Pack. Because Windows Azure Pack has better support for those kind of workloads.
I had a question actually last night by a friend of me. He said, well, maybe I should try to run an entire configuration manager environment in Azure, just to see if it works. And I said, you can't afford that. Well, I have a lot of money, and not enough. And why is that? Well, if you build cloud-based services, you build small units, which then scales out based on needs. Let's say that you have a company that sells a service, and you have a web server that handles that, and you build it for scale from the beginning. If you have 10 users, you need one web server. If you have a million web users, then you need 10,000 web services. And if you have a system that can feel the load, then you can scale up and down, depending on load. You can't really do that with a configuration manager server, because it's going to do 24/7, and it's always going to manage all the clients at the same time. So you need to pay for the amount of resources that server consumes. And you can't split it up in 52 different configuration manager servers, because it doesn't make sense, because it wasn't designed for that. So that is why we talk about legacy application and a future-based application. And Azure Pack is for the legacy, and Azure Stack is for the future.
And if we look at it this way, we can see that Azure Pack will be, as the current information is, supported until 2027. Azure Stack will be released during 2017, and then will sooner or later take over, and it will be the future. But they will coexist for quite some time.
So based on this, and we do have customers saying, well, that means I can hold on for a while, and I can shift into Azure Stack as soon as it's released, because you know it's 2017. That's just a couple of months ahead. So we can do that. I can keep my old stuff running, and then I can shift. Well, the problem is that it's not going to be as mature. It took a while before Hyper-V was mature. It took a while before anything is mature. I always believe that everything is created in three different versions or generations. First, you just make it work. Then you make it nice. And then you make it awesome. And if you start thinking of it, basically any kind of software you ever played with, the first version is kind of working, and then it gets better and better and better, and then someone restarts everything and go like, and then it's kind of okay, and then it gets better and better and better. We expect Azure Stack to be awesome, but not at the day it's released. At the day it's released, it's going to work because it doesn't have all the feature set. It doesn't have the same feature set as Azure Pack has currently. So it will take a while. But we know one thing, and that is Azure Pack is going to cease to exist, and they're going to stop developing features for it. So somewhere in the overlap, Azure Stack will become better, more mature, and more feature-rich than Azure Pack is today. But that's not going to happen on the first of June 2017,
yeah,
or whatever,
next summer.
Whatever day it's going to be.
This is the current timeline we have got from Microsoft. We recently got the technical preview 2. It was released during Ignite. We're waiting for the technical preview 3. And then we'll have general availability next summer. This one, as you can see, is the POC, the proof of concept solution. It's a one-node system. You can download it right now and deploy it to your own server and start playing around with. But you can only deploy it to one server, and you can't scale it to multiple servers. Some of the hardware vendors have got hold of the new TP2, which is in a private build as well, which has support for multi-node. So they have started to develop multi-node support together with a couple of hardware vendors. And that one will be released to the public as well during TP3. And I say as public because the hardware vendors will need customers in the TAP programs, in the beta programs. And then that will be possible to upgrade to general availability. But the proof of concept one node solution will, it's hard to say always, but that's the information we have at the moment. So I'll say that the proof of concept solution with one node would always be available. So you can always download and install it on one server to play around with. And speaking about hardware.
Interesting.
Yes. For Azure Stack, you will only be able to buy Azure Stack from three vendors. It's HP, it's Dell, and Lenovo. You cannot install it by yourself, except the proof of concept installation on one server. But for a production environment, you have to buy it from one of these three vendors. And it's going to be shipped and key turn ready, or as we say in Sweden, nyckelfärdigt. So you basically plug in the servers, hook up the power, turn them on, and it's working. So there's no installation. It's done from the fabric.
So for Azure Pack, that's different. For Azure Pack, it's based on Windows Server 2016. And System Center 2016. You can pick and choose anything you want. You can build it as small or as big as you choose. And that is slightly incorrect. You can't really pick and choose anything. You still need to pick certified hardware, tested hardware, enterprise class hardware. So it still needs to work, right? Which means that can I pick any network adapter? No, but you can pick a bunch of them. Even if you pick, let's say that Eddie is going to pick from a list and says, I'm going to buy this hard drive together with this controller, together with this network adapter, and everything is certified, it's in the list. It has never been tested together. So in reality, that means if you want to build your Azure Pack solution, you still need to say, I'm going to pick a vendor, and then I'm going to pick from that vendor what I would like to have, as long as that is being supported. Or I need to ask someone. So it is flexibility, but it comes with a normal restriction for any kind of hardware together with software. I mean, how many of you have been playing around with a network adapter that is supposed to be working, but it's not? Or, yeah, you need to deal with firmware, and you read a fine print, and they go like, oh, so there is a PowerShell command to enable it, but the vendor doesn't support it. Great, I need to run a batch file from the PowerShell script. Holy cow, that was weird. So you're still going to have that when you pick and choose, right? But you do have the option to pick and choose anything.
Yeah, and one of the reasons, as Michael is mentioned, the hardware and the firmwares and stuff like that, that's the reason why Microsoft has chosen three vendors, because that makes it easier for them to make sure that the private cloud that you're deploying is fully stable. It's stable, it's got the right hardware, it's got the right firmware, it's got the right drivers. For example, if you buy the solution from HP Enterprise, they are the ones who will provide you with the script that will update the firmware on all the components and make sure that everything is up to date, compared to, for example, building with Supermicro.
So at first glance, this seems to be slightly different solutions, but in reality, it is not. Even if it's not the successor after Azure Pack, Azure Stack has the same basic idea. It's like building a fabric. It's just that they provide the entire box. If you want to make this simple, you can say that Azure Stack is an appliance box. It's just huge, but it comes ready. Compared to a home movie system where you pick and choose your own components, and when you're home, you're going to go like, this cable doesn't fit in that hole. And then you go back to the store and you buy another cable, and that is still doesn't work, and you go back and buy another one, and hey, it's working.
Yeah, I mean, I've got my own home theater PC at home, several of them. It's nice. I can customize them as I want. I can add the different services. I can pick and choose and fix whatever. But the smart TVs are coming. They kind of make all that redundant. They provide all the same services, sort of. But in that case, I rely on the provider. In that case, I provide on, for example, Samsung to provide support for HBO, Netflix, and so on. And they might not add support for TV4 Play or TV3 Play or whatever, which I could do by myself if I had built it on, for example, Azure Pack, if you see the comparison. So that's kind of the difference. If you go with Azure Stack, you're more, yeah, it's more ready, you get the services offered to you, but you can't customize as much as you would like to yourself.
So the question is, what do I run at home? I do have a smart TV. My wife just loves it. Yeah, I do. And you do the Azure Pack version of it with a lot of servers.
Yeah, my wife loves it.
Yeah. The building blocks, however, is the same. We still have compute. We still have a management stack. We still have all the components. It's just different components. And if we start looking on the details, you can see that there's just one difference here. The difference is basically that the old solution is built based on System Center, and Azure Stack doesn't have System Center. So they have a replacement for it. It's basically one piece of software called the Fabric Controller. And the Fabric Controller is basically replacing System Center Virtual Machine Manager, together with parts of Operations Manager and Automation and SMA and Orchestrator, but mainly it replaces the System Center Virtual Machine Manager suite.
And as you can see, that we have a couple of services here, the green boxes. For Azure Pack, that's more or less the websites, the VMs, the database features, and the service bus. There are third-party vendors that you can add additional extensions for example, to get to make a connection to public Azure or to VMware and to Service Manager and so on. Azure Stack, on the other hand, currently have a quite limited set of features in the current technical preview. And it will also have a limited set of features during the release.
The goal they have is to be at the same level of feature set as Azure PAC can provide. That's the goal. That's to be able to deliver the exact same thing. So if you do run Azure PAC, you should be able to say, well, I would like that to be replaced by Azure Stack because it gives me the same feature set. It's almost true because there's still going to be parts that is missing from the system center side. From an Azure PAC, Azure Stack, that is the same. The feature set will most likely be the same. But you can do other things behind the scenes when you do Azure PAC, which you can't do when you do Azure Stack. Well, I had a question from a friend of mine. He said, well, I mean, I can do Ops Manager, and I can install the Ops Manager agent on the hypervisor that runs the Azure Stack. Yeah, currently can do that. But at general availability, and when you buy that solution from the vendor, what we know so far is that you won't be able to do that because you can't even log on to the system. So you can't extend it. It is in it's a cell phone. It's a lockdown system. And the reason why they do that is quality and guarantee that it should work. And we can say this for sure because we do have a customer right now that they replaced Data Protection Manager on a solution with another vendor. And it took them a couple of months, and then they blew up the entire storage. It just vanished. Turns out to be a bug in the backup agent for the third party. They didn't upgrade that agent in due time, and therefore they didn't have any storage one happy Monday morning. It took a while to get the storage back, and then they lost it again. And those are the kind of issues that Microsoft would like just to not happen anymore. So it is a lockdown system, but it comes with a guarantee.
Yeah, when you buy the hardware from a vendor, you also pay for a support agreement. So they do the support for the underlying stack, for the hardware, for the kind of the fabric where you can't log on.
So these are the sets, and everything that you see within green boxes is basically what they plan to have for a release at general availability. The green boxes with the yellow stars are the features that are in the pipeline of becoming ready after general availability. The ones with no green boxes is not on a plan at all, currently.
Yeah, and Microsoft do have some challenges. When they designed Microsoft Azure, the public Azure, they designed it big, grand. They have lots of servers. So when they deploy something, for example, one cluster in Azure consists of 1,000 hosts.
It's actually very easy. I mean, Marcus here, for instance, he's a very experienced and used travelers. He travels around the globe, and he always takes the suite because it gives him like 400 square meters of room space. So, and you know, he brings all his staff in, and suddenly he's going to a small city in Småland. And the room is 4 square meters. And he's going to go like, where do I store my car? I can't squeeze that in. Where do I have my staff? Can't squeeze that in. Oh, you need to downsize the solution. What do you mean? Just 10 bags? No, just one bag. And you need to sleep standing. And that is going to be the problem. They need to redesign a couple of parts that exists in Azure to make it possible to run them locally because they were never designed to run on 4 servers.
I like the idea of my own entourage.
Yeah.
I have to look into that.
Yeah, that's you.
Thank you. Yeah. So some of these services are not practical to downsize. So for example, the operational insight, the OMS, that one is built to kind of receive lots and lots of data, do machine learning to analyze all that information from various customers, see trends, report information. And I really doubt that that one will be possible to install in your Azure Stack, for example, as a resource provider.
And even if it is, let's assume it is, it will lose the calculations and the data from other customers Currently, when OMS is used, we collect your data and your data and your data, and we aggregate that, and we can do comparison, and we can do differences, and we can see that, hey, this is what's happening, right? But if we only have one customer, and we receive that data from that, we don't really have anything to compare it with anymore. So the recommendations will be slimmer. It's just not a really great idea to do that. And you will have some of these services that doesn't make sense to downscale, even if it's possible from a technical standpoint.
But there are a lot of services I would like to see, and I hope they will come. For example, the DNS service. That would be great for a lot of service providers to be able to offer that easy DNS service that Azure has. I mean, site recovery and backup. As a service provider or a hoster, I would love to be able to provide that service to my customers so we can be the failover data center for our customers. So we just hope and wish that the Microsoft gods implement that stuff.
SQL Data Warehouse is another one. Express Route is another one. So it depends. If you're a service provider, then you would like to have some of these features. And if you are an enterprise customer, well, maybe you only need a few of them. And so the way it looks right now is that the focus is for enterprise customers, and maybe the service provider will come later on.
This one is a bit strange that it's not included. The automation,
yeah.
That one kind of exists in the Azure pack.
Yes.
Well, let's hold our thumbs
for that.
And then we have the life cycle. I mean, software needs to be updated, replaced, you know, patched, and so on. For Azure Stack, there will be monthly updates or quarterly. We're not really sure about that, how often they will come. They will include both firmwares, drivers, software. There will be a single package. We don't know yet, or Microsoft doesn't know yet, if it will be provided by Microsoft or the hardware vendor. But it will, one or the other will provide the package. It will be a one click. You will basically have a button telling upgrade, click, and it will orchestrate the whole upgrade by itself. So it will update your software, it will update your firmwares, and the funny thing is that, for example, your hosts, they will not be updated as we normally do. They're being reinstalled. So your Hyper-V hosts will always be reinstalled every time there is an update. But the cool thing about that is that they're using boot from VHDX. So they just download the new VHDX, put it on the host, and switch. So it will boot on that one the next time, reboots the system. And if there's a problem, they can easily fall back to the old one, which was working. And yeah, the whole orchestration is, of course, done to have no customer impact. Everything should be running without any impact. And you decide by yourself when you should press the button. But you have to do it within a specific time, because Azure Stack is supposed to be, if I say, a mirror of public Azure. I think you understand what I mean. And if you don't add the updates, after a while, you will not be a mirror anymore. There will be a too big difference between your Azure Stack and Azure. So you're required to do the updates.
Yeah, think of it as the Windows 10. It's provided as a service, and therefore you need to keep up with the same version. Now, if you do Azure Pack, well, it also comes with monthly updates or whatever they need. But we do have quarterly update roll-ups, meaning the entire system center suite needs to be updated. We also need to update firmware 2 times a year, approximately, from most of the vendors. It does need some kind of planning and preparation, because we need to read all the README files. Anybody read the README files? No, that was.
We had a customer who did not read the README file for the drivers for, was it the Broadcom or Mellanox?
Yeah. There's a firmware upgrade for a Broadcom network adapters, and it's easy. You just click on the firmware upgrade. But if you read a README file, it says, if you upgrade a firmware, every setting on the network adapter, and including virtual network switches and everything, is gone. They are vanished. And you need to recreate them, unless you do it by command line and add the switch dash keep. Then it's going to keep everything. But the default is not. So, of course, we had a customer running that and go like every virtual switch on every host machine just gone. It's like, what happened? Did you read a README file? No. Try to do that next time. Anyway, so it needs some kind of orchestration because we need to do it in the correct order. That's very simple. We need to, can we automate this? Yeah, not really.
Kind of, but not really, because after you have added, for example, the update rollups for some of the System Center components, you still have to run SQL scripts and so on. Yeah. Sure, you could make some huge orchestration steps. I mean, they have done that for the CPS, the Dell CPS system and HP CPS, but still.
We recently did run through a couple of upgrades from 2012 R2 to 2016, and we had a customer asking for how long time does it take. It takes a week to do that on an entire platform. A week? Really? And you're working the entire week? I would say you're going to be working about 5% of the time, and the other 95%, you got to watch progress bars. Installing SQL Server 2014, restart, run Windows Update, installing patches, restart. Anybody watching progress bars and think it's amusing? Yeah. That's why you have two screens. One is for the progress bar, and the other one is for World of Tanks. Or something else.
And if something goes wrong, well, you have to do a rollback. Eventually, possibly have to restore from a backup and things like that. Yeah. I won't mention that our own environment is totally broken right now and had to be reinstalled from scratch.
Yes, but that's not our problem.
That's my problem. In Windows Azure Pack Fabric, the administration of that one is done by a very limited number of admins.
So if we compare this with a traditional enterprise, I think we mentioned that this morning, but I've seen numbers in an organization with less than 4,000 people where you have like 140 domain admins. And I was like, that's bad. And I told Marcus that, and he was like, that's not even close to bad. You had 300 domain admins.
Yeah, I did a review at the customer, and they had outsourced their environment to a third party. And they had a couple of engineers doing the administration, closely to 300 domain admins, people who were able to log on. And one of the guys was practicant one.
Yeah. And it's good, because if you have 300 domain admins, if anything goes bad, you have a lot of people that can help you. Now, the likeliness of anything going bad when you have 300 domain admins is huge, because some of them will go like, I don't need this OU anymore. Let's remove that.
So when we're building fabrics, or when anyone is building fabrics, you try to keep the number of domain admins to a minimum. The guys who are administrating the fabric, the private cloud, is in its own domain, segmented network. It's isolated from everything else. And you have somewhere between 3 and 10 people who are working with that one, depending on the size of the customer. And those are the only accounts available in that domain. Those are the only administrators. End of discussion. Because that gives us a high security. It's isolation. The whole fabric is isolated. And there's a very low overhead in administrating a fabric.
Now, it is possible to use Azure Pack connected directly to your service provider foundation together with System Center Virtual Machine Manager in an enterprise integrated environment. We have a lot of customers running this, and we have one of them running that configuration. That is also the customer we have most issues with, because they do have a lot of administrators on the same network, and we need to take precaution to make it more secure. So we don't like that, but it works. From a technical standpoint, it's possible to do that.
And the skill set needed to administrate a Windows Azure Pack platform or a fabric based on Windows Azure Pack and System Center is, of course, Windows infrastructure. You have to be really good at Windows. Windows in general, Active Directory, all those components, storage, System Center, the networking. You have to know Hyper-V well. You have to know deployment to create new images and so on. Automation to keep down the amount of work, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and are you really going to get good at everything? No. So this requires a small group of people. They usually are called the fabric administrators, and it's a small group of people, 2-3 people maybe, that manage the entire platform.
In our
but
company,
it's far better than have 300 domain admins, that's for sure.
In our fabric, I think we have 5 admins. I mean, Jörgen, he's really good at hardware and storage and networking. Matthias is really good at
automation.
Automation. I was about to say nothing. No, sorry, just kidding. Automation, that's his thing. Peter is good at deployment. Michael is good at everything. I'm mostly doing nothing. But we have our specialties. I get the coffee.
Yeah. I'm also bitter.
Yeah.
And I'm really good at that.
In Azure Stack administration, hands off. The previous skill set is almost non-existent because you can't log on to the Hyper-V hosts. You can't log on to the host, to the environment anymore. That's someone else's problem. That's the provider, the hardware vendor's problem, the solution provider.
But there's a new skill set needed. Suddenly, you need to know other things, like how is my organization working? How should I create subscriptions? How should I create plans? How should I make offer? How should I marketing my platform to make sure that people are consuming it? So I need to be friendly with people. And that doesn't fly for a lot of technicians.
No, so we will need to hire a replacement.
Yes, that's very true. You still need to have some kind of hard skills because you still need to understand. It's not the same thing. When you do network and compute and storage in Azure Pack, you really hands-on needs to know how to configure the RDMA settings for the network adapter, right? We need to know those details. When it comes to Azure Stack, you need to have the logical understanding of networks, how they are supposed to work, how they're supposed to be connected.
Yeah,
where should you connect them? Do I need to have MPLS connections? Should I have an express route connected? You know, all these, but it's on higher levels. You still need to understand it. It's just that you don't need to punch buttons to configure a network adapter.
And in Azure Stack, you can also go in and see, for example, for each resource provider, information, data, logs. You can see that the storage is having latency, or the network is having latency. You see that there are disk queues and things like that. You need to have the knowledge to understand that kind of data and be able to take actions on that, which means call the hardware vendor.
A very simple way to describe this is to specify the following. The DIP switches are gone. You don't need to fiddle with 8-bit DIP switches inside a printer to make it run 7 bits even with one stop bit in a serial connection. You just connect the cable and then you print. But you still need to connect the cable and you still need to understand that, hey, this is how you print. You push that button to do that.
So it all comes down to this. Azure Stack is like a web GUI. That's where you do it, click and point. You can, of course, use some PowerShell. On the other hand, Azure Pack is all the system center with a lot of PowerShell, and it's two different skill sets.
So if I know the right one, and I'm going to need to move over to the other one, what can I keep as a skill set? I would say nothing at all, because you don't really need it. Well, PowerShell, I would say, it's nice to have. Because if you do know PowerShell, then you can configure and automate a lot of things in Azure Stack because it's accessible through PowerShell, of course. So if you're used to use PowerShell in the current platform, then you can use PowerShell in the next platform as well. And that's going to be the same skill set. And from that perspective, it's going to look the same way. You used to use the following PowerShell commands, and now you can use the following PowerShell command, but it's still going to be PowerShell script, which is the skill set, the one and only skill set that really needs to transfer from the old platform to the new one.
But the really good thing is if you're going to, for example, for an Azure Pack solution today, mm-hmm. you're kind of preparing your organization and your environment for Azure Stack. Because if you're building a fabric today, it's really easy to later on move everything to Azure Stack. There will be a resource provider in Azure Stack that can connect to your Azure Pack and show all the information that you have in Azure Pack. So you just log into Azure Stack and get access to the stuff in Azure Pack as well.
True. Should we maybe shift into the demo of the Azure Stack and maybe create subscriptions and do stuff like that? Okay, so here I am. So what we can do here, if I go to the plus sign, and I did click on the button. Well, here it comes. Like my wife said, it's thinking. No, not really, it's calculating, and not fast enough.
Press harder.
Can you press the button again? So, you can see that we have everything here, but I also have my offers and I have my plans. So, should I create an offer? So here's an offer. Let's call it the demo offer. That works. And we're going to use the default provider subscription. You see, there is another subscription here. You can make subscription based on other subscriptions. I can make Eddie. I can give him the permissions to create subscriptions within your subscription, which basically means you can be a reseller. So you can have your subscription, and if I want to, you can create your own subscription in that. So we can resell to a reseller that resells to a reseller. It's going to be more and more expensive in the end, but
I want to be at the top of that pyramid.
Yes, and make all the money.
Yep.
Let's create a resource group or choose an existing one. And if I choose an existing one, it's going to give me a list of existings. And I can do that in plans and services. And here's base plans. And I can either pick one or I can create the infamous plan B. So let's do plan B. Plan B is not to be used. And that can use the existing resource group. And I can then say, in this plan, I will have the following resources. I would like to have compute. I would like to have network. And I would like to have subscription. So this is going to be a plan that is basically for consumption. This is going to be tenant that is using this. So let's do compute and select that. And if I go to compute, and then we can have, I did that. I need to have quotas. And do we have any quotas? I can create a new one, or I can pick the default one. So now I have that. I need to have the other ones as well. Network, storage. There I go. Select. Why don't they? Yeah, there they are. So now they are selected. Perfect. And then we hit OK. And then I have that plan B connected. I can also have add-on plans, and I can pin this to the dashboard. And if a user logs on to the system, he can now consume these services. So I own the system, and I create my plans, and I create my subscription. And this is a subscription for Peter, and Peter can use that subscription for various things. Or Matthias can use the same subscription. They can consume that, and it's submitting the deployment for an offer. So that is what we do. We create those items. Now, if we shift into being a user, which means that you can log on as a user, and then you can consume these services. Should we do that?
No, do it you. I'm preparing another thing.
This offer is a private tenant, and users cannot see that because I haven't made it public yet. But if I go to – Are you doing something that makes the system slow?
Not yet.
Not yet. Here it is. As a user, I log on, and in this case, I actually logged on with my live account, which is fine. And in this case, I can connect to this VM, or I can create new ones. So if I go to the plus sign over here, I now have the ability to create machines and networks and all the other stuff that I'm allowed to do. So from here on, it looks exactly like Azure. It's just limited in the feature set. I can't see everything that is publicly available. There's a couple of things that is noticeable, and that is the amount of selections we can do in the proof of concept. They are very limited. Also, they don't give us the same information currently. But we're waiting for this machine to give us some kind of information. So it's loading whatever it's recent. And I can create virtual machines, I can create data storage, and I can create network. Let's go to virtual machines. And I can create all these virtual machines. Maybe I should pick that one. And then we need to configure the basic settings. Which means that I need to give it a name. My happy VM 2. In this case, we can actually pick and choose different hard drives types. In our solution, we only have physical hard drives, so we don't have an SSD drives, but it's possible to do that if you do have them. Mike. And then I can pick my happy subscription, and I can either use an existing resource group or I can create a new one. You can also see there's a location here, and the location is local. That means that in theory, when everything is done, you can have multiple data centers. And in this data center, you have the following resources that you provide. And this is another data center, and these are the following resources. Pretty much like you pick the data center in Azure, we can have that definition in our environment as well. So I'm going to hit OK. And if you've ever been into Azure, you know that you can pick from various different sizes of all different shapes on virtual machines. And here you have a wide selection of different VMs, like these two. You can go to View All, and that gives you more. Now, notice the following small detail. It doesn't tell you what it's going to cost. And we will most likely have those questions. So what is the price tag for this? We don't know, because it has not been announced yet. But eventually, it will. So I'm going to pick a A2 standard machine, because it's kind of cool. Which means that now I can pick storage. I can either have a storage account separately for this, and a network where it should be connected to, and I can pick a default, or I can pick a public IP address, together with the security firewall, pretty much like exactly what you can do in Azure. There is possible to add extensions, and currently I don't remember if they added, I haven't seen this version yet. They do have Microsoft Anti-Malware or PowerShell desired state configuration, which is pretty cool. And there's also a custom script extension. I think that is really cool, especially when you do infrastructure as a service, because it's basically a PowerShell script. So you have a PowerShell script locally, and you go like, hey, when you deploy this machine, can you run this PowerShell script? So what can a PowerShell script do then? Well, I could join a domain, add roles, features, install applications, whatever you want to do, it's a PowerShell script, right? So it's pretty neat to do that. I'm not going to do any of those. It is also possible in the latest version to specify high availability, and I can create a high availability set. They also support boot diagnostics and guest OS diagnostics, and I'm going to turn them off. And when you're done, you go OK. And then you can submit this, and you hit OK. That's it. That is what you can do with Azure Stack today. You can create a VM. And tomorrow, you can create another one. You can connect them to different networks. They have access to internet. But remember, this is a proof of concept. It's the ability for you to see how the future is targeted when it comes to how Microsoft thinks an infrastructure should be run.
And it's also a chance for the developers to start touching, feeling, trying it out, get to know Azure Stack and how to use its usage during their own development processes.
And it's pretty cool when someone said, oh, you're running Azure. Yeah, in my basement. I have my own private Azure. It's over here, behind the refrigerator.
Really. And as an administrator in Azure, I can also see a little bit more of information than you're used to. So for each resource provider, you can currently have the compute, health, networking, and storage. For technical preview one, it was also possible to deploy SQL Server and web services and some other, but they have not been released for TP2 yet. For example, I can go in on networking, see the health of that one.
So it does come with a part of monitoring. Does it give you the same kind of monitoring that OMS or Ops Manager does? No, it does not. It gives you very basic information. It's good, right? Don't get me wrong here. It's good, but it's not the same amount of information you get from an Operations Manager server.
Previously, it was also possible to see like latency and things like that in the for storage accounts, but not right now.
Cool.
So go back to the last couple of slides. For customization, so Azure Stack, it is what it is. You have very limited capabilities to customize it. You can't really change the look of the web pages. You can do a little bit of branding. You can offer resellers to use your own your portal to resell their stuff, as Michael said. But that's about it. You can also decide which resource providers you would be able to, which services you want to offer your customers.
And for Azure Pack, it's whatever you want it to be, because you can modify it since there's an SDK. You can also do branding, of course. When it comes to billing, for Azure Pack, there's third-party applications, and you can use System Center to do any kind of calculations. You have the DBs, you have the databases, and you have PowerShell. For Azure Stack, they have a built-in tracking, which means that you can see consumption, but that's not really the same as billing. Azure Pack does not contain any kind of billing system. If you want one, you need to get one. Currently, there's nothing. But eventually, there will show up something like a billing system for a plugin. So right now, you can just see the consumption of it.
But just like for Azure, there are two kind of APIs for billing. There's the one that administrators can use to get the billing information. For example, here's an example through PowerShell, where you can use that information to then send invoices to customers when you've built that logic yourself. And a customer can also use the tenant API to grab information about their own usage, just like you can do for Azure today.
Architecture, this is just an overview of it. You're going to be able to see this. But you can basically see that it contains the same kind of components that would an Azure Pack solution would do. It's just different components, of course. Network is also different. They're using the network controller in Windows Server 2016, so they can basically use that too.
Which is the same as been running in Azure for a long time.
Yes, exactly. And that means we're done. So if you do have questions, we're going to hang around on stage after, of course. Otherwise, you can reach us at Twitter. And if you're not on Twitter, get on Twitter, because that's where it's happening. And that's all, folks. Thanks for tuning in, and hope to see you again.
And Goodbye. We hope that you have got a better understanding about the differences between Azure Pack and Azure Stack.
Yes!
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.